Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Rachel Herbeck here. And this week, we have a set of episodes from an interview with Father Josh Fons from the Good News Cruise. Join me as we dive into Ephesians chapter 2 together from the Good News Cruise. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. If you've been joining us as these episodes are airing, you know that we're talking about Ephesians. We're diving into God's Word on a cruise ship. Today, we are The boat is stopped, reported in Mexico, which I like the boat with no movement, you know. I like being able to be on the boat and on the cruise, but it's not swaying, you know. I like that, you know. So we're back diving into God's Word, and if you've been joining us, you know that just like on the show at home, we've been making our way very slowly, a couple of verses at a time. So we're on day 4 of the cruise, and we're only just going to start Ephesians chapter 2 today. So I've been joking that it's going to take us 10 years on this boat to get all the way through the book of Ephesians.
Going to have to come back next year, I guess.
So we're going to be continuing on with the book of Ephesians, but as I mentioned, one of the joys for me being here is I've been able to have some fun guests with me, and today I have a very fun special guest. Father Josh Fons is here, and he is the associate pastor, right, at St. Pat's in Brighton in Michigan, so we're fellow Michigan people. And fun fact, Father Josh and I actually went to school together all the way from third grade through college.
Yep, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. That's good. Isn't that amazing?
A lot of years.
I was not in the seminary, but I was in the seminary, was at St. Thomas, was at the same university as me. And Father Josh, do you want to just say just maybe a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your own conversion and how you kind of came to where you are today?
Yeah, so I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, like Rachel said. I grew up in Christ the King Parish and went to Catholic schools my whole time growing up. And very blessed growing up in that environment to be around a lot of people of faith, a lot of people very intentionally seeking the Lord. And I think that really rubbed off on me, that just sense of, The Lord is someone that I can know. The Lord is someone who wants to have a personal relationship with me. Like, the Word of God is alive. The Holy Spirit is real. And I think I started to encounter that for myself when I went to Pine Hill Summer Camp as a seventh grader. You know, Christian Catholic boys summer camp, where just having the witness of the counselors, these older guys, and just having these times of intentional prayer, seeking the Lord in worship. For the first time, actually, me realizing, wow, Jesus is real and wants to have a relationship with me, that I actually can pray. And when I pray, someone's actually listening and someone's actually speaking. And things kind of grew then throughout my time in high school, and that's when I began to open my heart to, you know, what is my vocation? Where is the Lord calling me? And a lot more happened since then, but through that all, this invitation eventually to the priesthood and to giving my life to the Lord in this way. I've been very blessed now as a priest for a year and a half to get to share God's Word with people, to preach. That's something that the Lord has really convicted my heart of that I was not expecting. I was that zeal for preaching, that desire to really have people be convicted by God's Word and have that actually change their heart and their life. So it's pretty fun to be on this show today, I'll be honest, to get to talk about God's Word and dive into it.
Yeah, and it's so fun. It's such a gift, you know, his upbringing, and I had a very similar upbringing. It's a huge gift to be able to be here and to come from the same environment and just look back and see how amazing it was to have all of that environment created. We really grew up in a place where it was like, this is the main thing of your life, you know, and all the adults were concerned about, like, helping the kids and helping their friends' kids and all that kind of stuff know Jesus. And it's a beautiful, moving thing to say we're both products of that, you know, and to come from that, to be on this with him, of we took different paths, but to say, okay, now the Lord's calling us. But yeah, it's such a gift to be here. And you mentioned how that preaching God's Word has kind of been a surprise for you in terms of, you know, there's so many amazing things, you know, you get to do in the priesthood, you know, highlight being Mass and, you know, consecrating Jesus' body, and so that's an obvious highlight, but you said that preaching God's Word is a surprise for you. Can you just talk for a few minutes about your own relationship to God's Word and how that grows, and maybe even how you chew on it yourself, both for your own inspiration, but then also to give it away?
Yeah, I think it started, I think, in high school. I remember my sophomore year of high school, finally had this realization, wow, if I actually want to be a disciple of Jesus, I probably need to spend time praying, actually praying with God's Word, just setting aside some time. So that was something I started to do, just wake up in the morning, kind of maybe just flip open my Bible to somewhere, find a scripture passage that resonated, and then spend some time just talking with the Lord about it. And since then, there's been lots of That's been a consistent part of my prayer, has been this entering into God's Word. And now as a priest, obviously, I pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which are pretty much entirely the Word of God. Obviously, preparing for Mass, preparing to preach homilies, spending time in the Scriptures. Kind of surprised me, though, that there would be the zeal for it, because that wasn't something, like, growing up, I was not someone looking for opportunities to speak publicly. I didn't fancy myself maybe the kind of I didn't grow up with a dad who just preaches the gospel all day, every day. You know, that wasn't necessarily something in my kind of in my roots like it was for you. But it's been a delight to then have that. I think really it's been a real grace the Lord has given me in my diaconate and then in my priesthood to just have this desire to really preach. That's been a big gift. Yeah, the line from Jeremiah chapter 1 always resonates with me. It's before I formed you in the womb, I consecrated you. Before you were born, I formed you a prophet to the nations. I have made you, I've sent you to proclaim his word. So that real conviction in my own heart of that call to be a preacher of the word.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. That's beautiful. And you said something that I want you to expand on a little bit practically. You said going into God's word, finding, you know, a verse that resonates with me, and just talking to the Lord a little bit about it. Tell me about that. Like, dive into that practically. If someone's listening to this and they're like, that sounds amazing, how do I do that? You know, what does it look like to talk to the Lord? Like, is it like he writes, you know, he's a priest, so he must have a direct line, you know, for talking to the Lord, or just someone who's listening who's like, man, like, that sounds so intimate and beautiful. What does that look like? You know, like, kind of break that down. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Catholic tradition, there's so many different ways, different saints, the different methods they recommend, but it really all comes down to the heart of just the conviction that this is a living word. This isn't just like a book you pick up off your bookshelf. This truly is God speaking to you, speaking to me. So when you start with that conviction, then it's like, okay, yeah, this is truly God speaking to me. Like, well, you know, we'll get into the verse here of Ephesians 2. Then he's talking to me about things, and I can actually speak back to him and then take the time to listen, that there's this the real relationship with here. This is like a letter from a loved one or a friend. It's not kind of something distant from me, but it's a word that the Lord knows that I would read one day and knew that there'd be things that we would want to move in my heart through this word.
Yeah.
So when you start from that place of how this, yeah, it's not just a, it's not something distant and far, but actually something that's meant to be so close and so close to our hearts. So yeah, then from that point, it's just actually taking the time to sit down and do it.
Yeah, I love that point, and it's making me think of the passage in Scripture where it says that, you know, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I love that part that says sharper than a two-edged sword, but I love when it continues, able to discern the thoughts and the movements of the heart. And so there's this reality, even like the Word is living, it's alive, but it, as we read it, the Word is reading us. And I remember this story that my mom would always tell when she was at University of Michigan. My mom went from Chicago to University of Michigan as a Jew. She grew up as a Jew, and she left University of Michigan as a Christian. You know, she thought she was going to encounter many Jews there, and she encountered many Christians on her floor. The Lord set her
up.
And she had a friend named Sarah, who actually, she's on Catholic radio, and she was our teacher, Sister Sarah Burnett, who was on her floor. And she had an assignment one day in her freshman year. She's in English class. She had an assignment to read the book of Romans. And she went to the professor, and she's like, I don't have this book. It wasn't on the list. And he's like, it's in the New Testament. And she's like, well, I'm not allowed to have one of those. And he was like, I don't care. Do the assignment, you know? And and Jews don't even have Bibles in their homes, you know? It's like they have the Torah. It's like so, so holy. Maybe you have one given to you by the rabbi, but you don't touch it. So she was like, the only person I knew with a Bible was my friend Sarah. So I walked down to her dorm, and she was like, can I borrow it? And she's like, would you want me to help you? Like, Romans is really complicated. You know, and she's like, I got it. You know, so she's like, I took it back. I sat in my beanbag chair. She's like, I opened her Bible. She's like, I tried to read Romans, and I didn't understand. I didn't know who Paul was. I didn't know what he was talking. You know, I didn't know what he was talking about. She's like, I just began to flip through her Bible. And she's like, and I just saw something so strange. It was like she had highlighted and underlined every possible word she could have in the Bible. And not only that, she was writing in the margins. And she was like, as I sat there and held it, I realized that she was having a conversation with someone. And she was like, and I didn't know what I thought about this God that she supposedly was having a conversation with, but clearly through the pages of this book, she was speaking to him and he was speaking back.
Wow.
And she's like, and I remember, she's like, I didn't know that verse at the time, but she's like, I remember having a tangible experience of sitting there and holding her Bible, and I felt she would later know as the fear of the Lord come over her, and she's like, I felt this weightiness She's like, I remember having a thought that if I held on to this thing for too long, it might change me. And wow. She's like, and so I shut it immediately. And I took it back to her and I didn't do the assignment. You know, because she was like, this is too weird. She's like, it freaked me out. And she's like, and then I would stumble when I began to read the New Testament. I would stumble upon that passage, the word of God is living and active. Sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and movements of the heart. And so I just love that, yeah, you shared of that posture. Because I think oftentimes we go to the posture of that it's a dead word. You know, like that it's not a living word that's alive. Like as we go into it this morning, it's alive right now, you know? And have you ever had experiences of like that you can recall or reading where you're like, I mean, you mentioned the passage from Jeremiah, but just particular passages where you're like, man, like that really, when I read that, it stuck out to me, it pierced my heart, it brought me closer to the Lord or whatever, and a true experience of kind of the Holy Spirit revealing something to you through God's word where you were like, this is living.
Yeah.
So many of those.
Yeah. One that was pretty vital in my own kind of vocational journey was actually right before. So over the summer before our senior year of high school, I was on actually down at Franciscan University for their lead, one of their lead retreats. And at that point, I kind of already started to hear the call to the priesthood, but there's still kind of fears, worries. I was maybe worried about all these expectations, worried about so many things, so like really actually trust my heart to the Lord that this is where he was calling me. And you know, on this retreat, they just sent us out for a time of prayer. I said, go and pray. And I was like, all right. And I was kind of sitting there, not really knowing where to pray with, but felt the Lord prompting me, like opening my Bible. So it was this Bible, and I still have since my confirmation, so flipped it open just kind of randomly, but it fell open to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it was one of the verses I had underlined, as one does, verse 24. And that verse, for those who are familiar, it says that in the race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize, run so as to win. And this was like my verse. I was a big runner in high school, ran in college as well, and so I knew this verse. But that time that I read it, because like you were saying, this is what the scripture can do. Like that time that I read it, I then heard the Lord speaking to me in the quiet of my heart, Joshua, the only way to truly run so as to win is to run as I'm calling you to run. And you've been kind of taking this competitiveness you have towards sports and academics and all these things, and you've been trying to be the best Christian. You've been trying to kind of live your faith externally so people like know you're a good Christian, trying to do maybe the right thing. But I don't want you to be the best Christian. I just want you to be mine. I just want you to be mine. And it was just like walls came down, like the Lord really like piercing the heart of, like, yeah, that's where I'm meant to live from. Not a place of, okay, am I being the best? No, actually, just called to follow me. Just called to follow me. And that's carried me through so many of the twists and turns of my own vocational journey and eventually to the priesthood. But yeah, there's that conviction of the Lord has me on a path following him, and that's where I need to be, just continuing to seek him. But yeah, the way the scripture can just kind of, even the passage I knew very well that time, it was this catalyst for the Lord speaking.
The Holy Spirit knows exactly to pierce
our
hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I love sharing these stories because it can be so easy to be like, oh, yeah, well, that's obviously for Father Josh because he's a priest and the Lord, you know, like he's like on this level of holiness. But the reality is that the Lord wants that for each and every one of us, you know, that this word is not just living for Father Mike Schmitz, not just living for, you know, all the people on this cruise or all the people in our lives that we think are like the best Christians. That's why I love that you shared that word. But the Lord wants to speak to each and every one of us. And I believe today, as we open God's word, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us.
Join us again tomorrow as we continue our interview with Father Josh Fons on the Good News Cruise. Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.